Atlanta. He's interpreting for the brother from
Luis is in Atlanta.
Honduras. Bonnie Gabby are in Kentucky. Her sister had a baby yesterday.
Did she?
So they're on the way back home, right? Johnny's down in her legs. Gwen's taking care of her mom. I don't know about Joyce and Danny.
Lisa's upstairs.
Lisa's upstairs. Aaron will be here.
Yeah,
I don't know where Regina is.
It's supposed to be. I mean, and it is. We'll need to go to the.
Oh, yes. Her mama. Oh, yeah.
Her and I'll probably
be. Do they really do that?
Yes.
Yeah, she did that for me today. She left Rome Church and come over here for me for Mother's Day.
I think that's the point I was trying to make.
I know it was, and I appreciate it.
Well, that's just here.
And Bob's here.
Yes, he is.
I got the same color again.
Bob's always here.
Several times this recently.
He just, you have went out. You have went out of your best. You get too hot.
Yeah, it gets too hot.
Yes.
No. All right, here we go with Hebrews. We've been in studying the book of Hebrews, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. We ended up with chapter 5 last week. So here we are with chapter 6, and this is a wonderful chapter. Paul starts it off. Now remember. As we've been teaching, these are letters that Paul is writing to someone. All right, so he's writing it to the Christians that are there at wherever he's at the moment, writing these letters. And it's a complete letter, so we go back to 5, right here, and we see this is where we ended up, because this is a letter. Man's the one that put the chapters in. This is just a letter. Scholars put the chapters in when they see that a thought changes, but I wished it would just stay the way it was, just like a letter written straight down. All right, so this is the letter written straight down, because sometimes we pause and lose our thought we just start reading in chapter 6. We kind of lose what Paul's talking about, but go back to 5, down at the bottom, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, starting over, ABCs, going back to kindergarten, all right, in your Christian experience. And are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Well, milk's good, but we like strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Right? And God doesn't trust his word to babies. He trusts it to full-grown people. Now, we all have to start as babies. We all begin as babies. We all like milk. But I love the analogy that I always show people, especially when I go preach somewhere else, about the four combat beasts, the lion, ox, man, and eagle. The lion starts as ferocious as he is, and as much of a meat eater as a lion is, the first thing the lion does is what? Drinks milk. Alright, same thing with the ox. When the ox is born, the ox drinks milk, and it learns to eat grass and all these other things. And then man, even man, as strong as we are with the teeth we have for canines to eat meat and all the other things with, we start out with no teeth and drinking milk. Don't feed a baby a steak. But now when that baby gets about 5 or 6, you can chunk it up a little bit and give it to it. But what will happen, it'll choke it. Same way, that's the way I see the gospel. God has made it so simple that you can look at your everyday life and see your Christian walk. Right? Because you start out as a baby. You can't walk. Somebody has to help you. Somebody helps you as a young Christian. Always helps you as a young Christian. And you can name them all that helped you as a young Christian navigating your life through and teaching you how to be a better Christian. Not just, I mean, once you're a baby, I mean, if you're born in the family of God, you're a Christian. I mean, you're a newborn babe in Christ. But now we get to the last one, which is the eagle anointing, which is lion, ox, man, and eagle. Now the eagle has no milk glands.
Right.
The mother eagle has zero milk glands. They were not made to be given milk. They were made to eat meat. But what mama eagle has to do is go kill the thing, chew it up, regurgitate it, and stick it down into the throat of the baby, and she knows exactly how much they'll take to not choke them, right? So that's the same way with the gospel. He's given us apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. to come here on Sunday and Wednesday, and every time we match play or whatever you want to say, listen to a sermon. That is Mama Eagle chewing the big pieces up and giving them to you as you need them. But now then there's got to be a time, though, that if you're still 30 years old and you're a 30-year-old eagle and you're sitting in the nest going, there's a problem there. I'm sure Darlene would be, well, good to have her here today. I'm going to put you on the internet. But we, you know, Sister Darlene's here, and she's the youngest of the whole bunch, so she's very young. Sister Rebecca being the oldest child. And, but you know, they may eat today. Everybody's coming to my family's coming to my house, and we're going to eat. We're going to eat turkey and gravy and all these different things. But you know what? I'm not going to get up in the morning, and Mama's going to be still sitting in the house at the table going, somebody needs to feed me. Now, it may happen later on in life, but what my analogy is Darlene's, ever how old she is, young she is, she's not going home with Sister Anna every day, and Anna wakes up in the morning, and she's got her life to live, and Darlene sat at the table every morning. You know, sometimes you just have to say, grow up.
Right.
Get your own teeth, go get your own job, go get your own food. Yeah, get your own teeth, because Mama needs hers. So, anyhow. So that's the way it is in the gospel. God doesn't always want you to stay in the eagle's nest. He wants you to be an eagle and be able to fly and do your own thing, kill your own food, eat your own meat, get your own revelation. Okay? So we can see that too. It's just not fruitful for you to have older children that are still at home. There's just something going on there. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, are mature, even those who by reason of use, in other words, we had to learn to eat. Some of us have quit learning how to eat. We just eat.
Yeah.
We don't eat for substance. We eat because we like it. But by reason of use, have their senses exercised. In other words, what? We eat three meals a day or two meals a day or every once you meet, eat to sustain you. Same way in the gospel. You know what you need. You ought to, as a Christian, know one thing for sure. When you're in a dry spell and when you think, you know, you're the whole world's on top of you, just remember one thing. It's a growing thing. It's a growing thing. You know, God doesn't want you to cry, Daddy, 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 Daddy. He wants you to grow up. You know, figure things out for yourself. Use the Holy Spirit that's inside of you to live your daily life. And even also live your life as a Christian to read what's in the Bible, do what's in the Bible. Because that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the person of Jesus Christ inside of you, teaching you what to do. But strong meat belonging to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that is our discernment, to discern both good and evil, because we are given that sense to know what's good and know what's evil, especially being a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, then your world is convoluted. Your world is out here where, like I said before, smoking, drinking, gambling, cussing, and all those things. And they still go to church. I mean, that may be a baby, but you grow up. You're not going to come to this church and listen to what's going on in this church and be a baby very long. You're either going to go out or you're going to grow up, one of the two. So that's why I think, you know, people sometimes have a problem with a prophet, with Brother Brown, us, you know, following a prophet. But we follow Jesus Christ. We follow what He says, but it's all in the Bible. So all we're doing is we're getting an amplified version. We're getting the big picture, Mama Eagle. Because there's a lot of things in the Bible we didn't understand. So God had to send a prophet to tell us what God was saying. Not reinterpret it, but tell us exactly what it's being said. Because it's hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent. It's hidden from the ones that are not Christians. It's not... I hate to say this, but God's a segregationist. He's always been a segregationist. Read Brother Brown will tell you, God is a segregationist. He segregates. He don't want you to mingle. He didn't want Israel to mingle with the world. The worst thing Israel done was is started marrying Moabites and Ites and Hittites and Websites and all them other sites, you know. So, I'm talking about us now. So you understand what I mean? So it's all them ikes is what got Israel in trouble. But God said, stay with your own group. All right, stay with your own people. Same way with in the gospel. Sure, we have to be out in the world, but we don't have to be of the world.
That's right.
We have to be different. Our normal is not their normal. Our normal to them is abnormal.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to think the way the world thinks. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. That's what we'll get into later on. For we have the mind of Christ, which Christ is the one that's going to turn us back to the Word. But now, Paul has given us a... Over here, and he said, okay, down at the bottom. But strong meat belonging to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Continue reading. This is not a chapter break. Therefore, in other words, what I just said, Paul is a wonderful orator. That's the Word of God is perfect. So God was talking through Paul. This is the eternal Word. It never will change. All right? So Paul says, therefore, all that I've said, therefore, leaving the principles. Now here's where we get in trouble sometimes. But that means elementary discussion of. Now it does not mean that we're supposed to get away from water baptism and all the major doctrines in the Bible. But we're not supposed to be the 30-year-old kid sitting in the parent's house waiting on the parent to feed them. All right. Therefore, leaving, get out of the house. Go find you a job. Buy your own food. Amen. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, what do you do? He said, babies are okay, but don't stay babies. Everybody's baby when they start. We all start the same way. We all start as babies. Right?
Right.
But now, if we grow up and eat strong meat, like he said there in verse, whatever that was, 13 or 14 down at the bottom, he's saying now, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, or what? Maturity. God wants mature people. That's something on the screen. Perfection, completion. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, what's he saying? Today, if we have visitors today, then Brother Dale may drop back, and I may drop back, and we may just talk about some things that we usually don't talk about. Because, hey, we don't want to choke people. We don't want to choke them. We want them to see that we're, you know, good Christian people, and that what? Mama Eagle is not going to choke. But we don't talk about water baptism every service.
Right.
We don't talk about no eternal hell every service. Right. We don't talk about there not being a Trinity every service. But we do interject those things in there for the ones that what? Listen, in every family, there's older people, middle-aged, and younger people.
Right.
So when you have a family reunion, you don't just get up and you say, well, I'm going to talk to all the adults today. Well, no, there's some kids still there. There's some things you wouldn't say that you would say if they weren't there or would not say if they were there. All right? So you have to be careful. Same way with the gospel. You're preaching to a group of people upstairs that's family members. It's all different ages. But what's God want to do, though? He's wanting to draw us. That's why I believe God did send a prophet. He sent a prophet to tell us exactly what the Word says and for us to grow up in God and not be babies and not be wandering about, you know. You turn a kid loose in Times Square in New York. What a disaster. But now you take somebody like Josh, who's 35 years old, he's been to Times Square a couple of times. I have no reservations with him getting on an airplane and flying up there and going through Times Square. Why? He's an older, mature adult.
Right.
Okay? So an older, mature Christian will show their self and not cry so much. But what? Why cry, Moses? Speak. That's what we're coming. We're trying to come into speaking condition. Of not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands. I'm going to read you one today. I found about the laying on of hands, and it's connected with the number 7. But we're going to talk about the seventh seal today, but we're going to talk about the number 7. But I found a quote. Of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will we do if God permit. Okay? For it is impossible Y'all put a... Did you put a thing in there?
It's probably to have a battery.
See, another battery?
See,
okay. We may have to get another. That clock's probably as old as this church here.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, now not possessors. Get this right. You cannot possess the Holy Ghost in your soul being possessed by a ghost. I will take it every time. You cannot possess the Holy Ghost in your soul and fall away. Okay? But you can be enlightened. You can sit in a message church. Look what's happening today. That scripture is just exactly what's happening today. People sitting in a message church for 20, 30 years listening to the message and then go right back out in the world. You can't do that and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And we're made partakers. Now, you can be made partakers. You can be false anointed ones. You can be truly anointed by the Holy Ghost, but it's just on your spirit realm, not your soul. And have tasted the good word of God. If you go to church, you'll get the good word of God. And the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. So that's what's happening now. Because watch what this will tell you. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now look, there's another place where He's talking about there's no more sacrifice. There's no sacrifice for this. There's a sacrifice for ignorance. Yes.
Right.
But there is no sacrifice for knowing better. And not doing it. There's no sacrifice for that. You got to go back and you got to repent and you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Unless you blaspheme. That's the only thing. It doesn't matter. You can be an axe murderer, a whoremonger, whatever you want to be. But if God gets a hold of you and gives you the new birth, you're just as clean as a person that never did anything. That's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But now, don't do that and don't find Jesus in jail every once in a while and just, you know, go to reading the Bible until you get out of jail. And, you know, the old man said, that's not finding Jesus in jail, that's just getting caught.
Yeah.
All right? So you can't crucify Him afresh and put Him to an open shame. Because remember, true repentance, those who He's justified, He's already what? Glorified. All right, those who He's justified, it's a journey. But now you can be justified and lose it all. That's just what the denominational world calls being saved. We believe in salvation. We believe in salvation, and the Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But we understand too, though, that the meat that we get of that is that if you continue on, it's what I told the guy one time, I told him I got saved. He said, well, that's great. I got saved a couple years ago. I said, Bob Stump was his name. He was a bank president. And he said, yeah, I got saved a couple years ago. Well, he had a Bud Light in his hand, cursing like a sailor. And I just looked at him. I said, Bob, what'd you get saved from? And he just looked at me with that far-off stare. I said, to get saved means you were in the water drowning, because we were in a boat fishing, actually. So I had a captive audience. He couldn't go nowhere. We were out in the middle of the lake. So we were fishing some little retreat we had from when I owned J&G. We got together with all the banking people because they love you, because you borrow their money and you put your money in their bank. So old Stump was out there, you know, we were fishing away. And I said, tell me. I said, saved means if you fall in the water and you're drowning, somebody picks you up, puts you back in this boat. Now, the way you're telling it is, yeah, you might have got picked up, put back in the boat, but you just jumped right back in the water again. And he just kind of looked strange and started a new conversation. And he could have had a work of repentance.
Right.
The Bible says, you know, ask God and he'll chop your sins off.
Yes.
But we don't want to ask Him that. We want to ask ask him to take that person that motivated me to do it to begin with. Right. If you'll take that person out and fill it with the Holy Ghost, you won't go and do the same thing again, you know, that you were doing before. If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. It would be shameful for Stump. His name was John Stump, wasn't Bob? His name was John Stump. It will be shameful for John to tell people he got saved and he starts testifying to people and he's standing there with a Bud Light in his hand, you know, and talking about all the things that he does at the bar and, you know, all that stuff. And you're going, well, that's an open shame. What's Jesus Christ die for?
Yeah.
He died to take all that away from us.
That's right.
Give us a newness of life when we walk in newness of life. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringing forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Alright, he's fixing to make a point here. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. In other words, what's happening? People get a blessing from God. Alright? The rain, the word, the anointing falls on the just and the unjust. It falls on the good seed and the bad seed. Remember the Bible, there's one sower that sows good seed and there's one sower that sows bad seed. Alright? But Jesus says, leave them alone. In other words, let them grow. Because you know what? If you go out and we plant food plots in the fall and we take and we, this ground that we do is just like this. I mean, there's nothing growing in it. We go out and we plant clover and we plant rye and we plant wheat. And about 3 weeks later, you know, you got a... But you look out there and you think, man, this is like my yard. There's not a bare spot in the whole place. But now about a month from there, you see that about 50% of that is thorns, thistles, Canadian thistle, which it's just, it came from hell. It came and it's going back. You know what Canadian thistle is? That, oh, it'll beat you. Mama knows what it is. Yeah, so I say it came from hell, going back there. But anyways, but you can't, what I'm saying is, once you get started, you cannot tell. So I can't go out there with a hoe and start digging up plants that I think look like, no, you got to let it mature. So God said, remember they told, God said, leave them alone. Let them mature. When the harvesters come in to reap, they'll know what's corn and they'll know what's briars. Alright, same thing with the deer. The analogy is the deer will pick through and eat all the clover and leave all the other stuff.
Right.
Let them pick it. You know, but you got to wait till it matures though. So you've got to wait till you and I have come to now a time of the end of all things and God's going to see who's mature and who's not. Okay? Because your weed looks just like this and your corn looks just like this. Mm-hmm. But now let it grow on up and what? This is going to manifest the seed. This is going to manifest the seed that it started with. Yeah. This is going to manifest the seed that it started with. And it ain't the same seed. Yes, ma'am.
Is the fivefold ministry the harvesters?
No. God's the harvester. We're not going to cause... No, see, because watch the analogy with Paul. I'm trying to think of it. Which one is where it says Apollos watered... I planted, Apollos watered, or something, but God gives the increase. Right? So it's God that's going to take us out of here. Now, what a fivefold ministry is we're the fertilizer. You can take that the wrong way. We're the fertilizer. We're the master gardener. Right? We lay these things out. We fertilize the ground. We water it with the washing of the water of the Word. That's our job. But then what? God's going to get the increase. God's going to come through. And I'm trying to think of that as I'm talking. I'm trying to think of that scripture where it says that the reapers will come in and reap the harvest. Right? And then what? Some will be bound and burnt. Some will be bound and taken up. Right? So that's God to do that, not us. But all we're doing here is to fertilize and water and what? Be a master gardener. I like being a master gardener. Being a master gardener, you see some really beautiful things come up.
Mm-hmm.
So no, fivefold ministry would be your caretakers. That's when they put it that way. Your fivefold ministry would be your caretakers. God will be the one that will get the increase. He'll be the one that will take us out of here. Now, it'll be through the fivefold ministry that He comes and does that, but we're not the soul. Don't make us so much good. We're not all that good. For the earth that drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. What? He's talking about those that are of the right seed, those that are of the right plant. This one, not this one. And things that accompany salvation. Now here he goes right back to what? He goes right back to maturity. It's accompanying salvation. What happens is, it's like I said, you know, you get the baby here, and their babies are wonderful because we know they're babies and we don't expect them to do anything but what babies do.
Right.
All right? But, like I said, as they grow up and they're still in diapers in their 20s and 30s and they're still eating, well, I used to, pablum is what I, that's a long time ago. Nobody knows what that is. Well, some of you older ones do. Mama still don't need, today, we're going to have green beans. She's not going to go over there and mash the green beans up so that we can eat them. Why? Because we've matured. What? We've come to salvation. We've become a son and daughter of God. Now, God doesn't say beautiful baby and go over here and sit in the corner. And He just goes, beautiful baby. 10 years later, beautiful baby. No, the baby will die.
Yeah.
All right? So what does accompany salvation? The growth development. The one where you and I, talking about though we just speak. Accompany, we are talking about the things that accompany salvation today. That's what I think that I believe that everybody calls a message all the different things. The message to me is that part that accompanies salvation.
Yes.
It's not just, God just don't want us to live a good Christian life.
Right.
He wants to be God made manifest on earth.
Right.
That's right.
In a human form. Right? For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, not just preachers, everybody. That ye be not slothful, or slow, or dilatory, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see that says, now there's one promise, which is the Holy Ghost. But there are promises given in the Bible. Gifts, there's 9 spiritual gifts. There's all these different things that come about. That we as believers, not just message believers, we believe what God's done. Because what did Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham. Abraham, Brother Kern, you're Abraham. You're sitting in your house. You're not thinking, you're making idols. Right? Abram was making idols with his daddy. He was working in, wasn't thinking about God at all. And all of a sudden, this voice, now, it's not in a book, it's not in a video, it's not on the DVD. This voice says, Abram, get up and leave where you're at. Now, that's exactly what happened to Abram. Abram heard a voice that said, get up and leave. And if you'll read in Genesis 14, 15 in there, God starts telling him, I will do this, I will do that, I will give you this, I will give you this, I will give you that. And then Abram, or Brother Kern, just gets up and walks out the door. Leaves everything behind. Now see, that's unbelievable. Honestly, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
In our humanity, it's unbelievable because I'm sure Satan is probably talking to Abram at the same time.
Yeah.
No, Abram, you stay right here. You're making a good living. You're doing really good. Your daddy loves you because you're helping him with the work. Your daddy's getting old. You need to work that up. You see the circumstances.
Yeah.
But that's why Abram, starting as Abram, the baby, to go to Abraham, the mature man, is because God loved Abraham because He knew Abraham would do exactly what He said He was going to do. So this voice speaks to Abraham. The reason I'm making this point is that when God speaks to us, we've got media, we've got phone, we've got cell service, we've got all this internet and Wi-Fi. And God had Wi-Fi long before man did. He talked to us without a wire, didn't He?
Mm-hmm.
But He's talking to us, and He gives us all these tools. And then we say, oh, that must not be God. Or we're slothful. We shouldn't be slothful. We should be more now, more aware of God speaking to us. And you know what? Brother Branham told us, said, now, the way to tell whether it's God or not is to go right back and put it in the Word.
That's right.
Because Satan won't put it in the Word.
Right.
He might put a little bit of it, but he won't put all of it in the Word. All right? So, but if you see, if you get a thought, how many of you got a thought and never, ever, again, entertained it? A million of them, right? But like I told you many times in my Christian journey, is there's only been a few times that I know God has spoke directly to me. Not an audible voice, just inside my head, told me things were going to happen. Maybe two or three times in my whole Christian experience. But still, I know that voice. I know that tone. I know what he says. But you know why I know it's God? It always comes to pass.
Right.
Always comes to pass. I mean, how many of us, we get thoughts in our mind, we go, well, oh, that's the Lord, that's going to come, and it doesn't come to pass. I promise you, it wasn't the Lord.
Right.
I promise you, you can just remember one thing, that was not God.
Right.
If it didn't come to pass, that's what I said, you know, we have a God that we say he never changes his mind, but we have a God that changes his mind a lot, according to us. I'm going right here in this direction, God told me to. Well, you get there and you go, well, no, I think I'll go this way. No, well, that ain't where God sent you, I promise you that.
Right.
All right? For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now how patient is that? God came to Abram at 75 years old and said, you're going to have a baby. He waited 25 years. We can't wait 25 minutes. Hello, somebody. We can't wait 25 minutes. He patiently endured, and what happened? You know why he knew that was God? He had the baby. But remember, there was a big long journey in there, Genesis 14, 15, 16, 17, right in there that God had to finally meet him face to face and say, you're going to have a baby with Sarah.
Right.
Right? So sometimes God don't give you all the direction, but he sends somebody to give you the direction. Now what if Abraham would have walked outside and saw the three men coming and thought they were Jehovah's Witnesses and shut the door? You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Shut the curtains. Oh, you're not Jehovah's Witnesses, are you?
No.
Okay. All right.
I just shut the door.
Right. Sometimes I have to be careful. I will fall back into what I've said, look at the attitude. That's what Paul's telling us about now, about the attitude. He made a promise to Abraham. So you and I as Christians, when he bursts you into the body, he gives you a promise. He said, you are my child, and I'm going to take care of you. But you got to do what it says in there. You got the blueprint. You got my DNA right here, so I want you to start looking like me, because you're now part of me. So he told Abraham, and he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's why we've been in this thing for, 50 years, some more than ever, but some more than that. But I like that scripture that Brother Claude always quotes. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Why? Because in the end, you're going to get your maturity. You're going to see your Canadian thistle with them big old purple, satanic, nasty, gross-looking. But our bees really like it, and I hate that because they pollinate them and they grow everywhere. But you see that thing and you go, oh, that's just the devil sticking up. Yes. But you know what? You got to wait till that matures. Then that's got to be chopped away and thrown in the fire. But you've got some really good clover down at the bottom of there that has to mature also. So, same way with you and I. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us to come to maturity, to where we're not a bunch of babies, where we don't cry daddy, daddy every time we need something. We can speak and let it happen. Right? So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. What did he have? He had the child that he was promised to have. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all struggling, or strife, or dispute. Right? Wherein God, willing more abundantly, in other words, than you and me, to show unto the heirs of promise, that's us, the immutability of his counsel. Now, what's he talking about? He's going back to Abraham. Abraham, I told you what's going to happen. Now, you got to wait on it. Because, see, that word means unchangeableness. Okay? So, in other words, immutability is infallibility. He is infallible. God is infallible. When he speaks something, it is immutable. It cannot change, will not change. And the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. Confirmed it by an oath. What? He said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. And it's going to be my promised son. A promised son. Now we know that that is a type because, Isaac was not Christ. He's talking about us. He's talking about Christ coming, the promised child. All right? But he has to give you an allegory of what happened in the Old Testament. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. So God can't lie. And if you and I, remember I was preaching a couple Sundays ago on, the word just went right out of my head. Talking about two omnipotents. When two omnipotents meet. Now omnipotent is all powerful. So God's met man that has God in him, then that makes two immutable. Alright? Or two omnipotence. So by two immutable things. So in other words, to have a contract, you got to have two. So Abraham had to believe God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So there was an immutable thing here where he believed what God said. Then you got God here, he cannot lie. That we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Look, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in that within the veil. Now remember, that's your veil. You have an outer court, you have an inner court, and the Holy of Holies, all right? And there's only one man that can enter in behind that veil, and that's God himself. All right? Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, he went in, and remember when Christ died, the veil was rent. Alright? And we're going to really stop right there because we're going to get into Melchizedek next Sunday, but we'll read just a few. It's just about 20 after. We'll head on up in just a second. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that king of Salem, which is King of Peace. Without father, without mother. Now, a lot of people believe that that was an actual priest person or somebody. Now, it says without father, without mother. Now, who in the world is without father and without mother? There's not a soul on this earth don't have a father and a mother except one man. That's Jesus Christ, all right? Or God Almighty. Without father, without mother, without descent. In other words, he didn't have any brothers or sisters, naturally. Having neither beginning of days, nor ending of life. I don't see how... That's pretty plain who that is. Okay? But made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest. Now continually. Now see, now consider how great this man was. It was a man. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. We're going to talk about Melchizedek coming down and meeting Abram. We'll actually go back to Genesis because I'm going to really get into this next Sunday. So God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And take her out to eat or give her something.
Or sit beside her in church.
Yeah.